Where warp meets weft.
Where warp meets weft.
This is Weavecast with Sine Mitchell.
Hello, and welcome to episode 51, OS Loom. This episode, we're going to talk with Margarita Benitez about an exciting project that she's working on, an open source loom. She's looking to bring jacquard weaving to the masses. Before we get into that, I've got some updates on what's going on with Weavezine. There are so many exciting things going on in the site right now. I just can't wait to tell you. One of the big changes is if you go up to weavezine.com, you'll see we have a brand new look and feel. I've worked with a designer to make a website that is much more of an online magazine feel, and it is just lovely. The old design was good, but as we added more and more content, it was harder to find a place for it on the website. So the new website is easier to navigate, much more visually interesting, and it has room to grow. I'm also excited to announce that starting this Friday, we're going to have a monthly column from Daryl Lancaster. She's going to be talking about sewing handwovens. And she is such a talented seamstress and weaver that I'm just excited to have her on board. In other exciting news, I have added a shopping cart to the Weavezine site. This means that you can now buy things like kits and patterns directly from Weavezine. It also has given me a place to start publishing e-monographs. And our very first e-monograph is now up for sale. It's Laverne Waddington's Andean Pebble Weave. If you're not familiar with Andean Pebble Weave, it is a technique for a warp-faced fabric that creates very intricate geometric designs. And Laverne's e-monograph is just 63 pages of weaving goodness. So you can check that out. Now, without further ado, let's talk to Margarita Benitez. Now, I will say that this is a short episode, and I kind of rushed it through production because it's a timely episode, and it's important to get this message out here before May 1st.
My name is Margarita Benitez.
I'm here via Skype. We're going to be talking about a very interesting project that she's trying to find funding for. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I assume you're a weaver?
Not really. I'm more of an artist that's just appropriated the weaving medium for certain projects that I created. I kind of came into weaving not really intentionally.
So what kind of projects did you do that required weaving?
I originally did this project where it was a cross-stitch of a video still from a newscast, and it took me 8 months to complete. This was while I was exploring surface design techniques and fiber material studies. It just took so long to make. My arm, my wrist was killing me, and I started thinking, what would be an easier medium to create this sort of pictorial imagery on cloth that isn't necessarily screen printed, but that has a 3D look to it and feel to it? So I started exploring the medium of tapestry weaving, but during that time, I had a course with a professor called fiber-based painting down in my undergrad, and she had just met Bethan Knudsen from the Jacquard Center. She put me in contact with her, and I went ahead and inevitably went to the Jacquard Center and took the two-week boot camp there where there was access to the mill, and I've pretty much been in love with weaving since then, and I progressed backwards, I would say, through weaving. So I first went straight to the industrial machines and then slowly went backwards to the TC1 and then to the floor loom.
That's really interesting. Most people consider Jacquard weaving kind of the pinnacle that you eventually reach, but that was your starting place.
It was my starting place, and it interested me so much in weaving techniques and learning more of the basic skills, because when you just get to Jacquard weaving, it's very easy to just go into Photoshop, create a digital file, which I was adept in, and then manipulate it, especially if you have a blanket with weaves already done. Just plug in your weave structures and go from there. But once I did that, I felt that I really wanted to learn more about what it was to create a weave structure and explore more the history of weaving and try to get a little further understanding of basic weaving so that it could then inform my work later on.
Sounds like you are working within a university structure?
So yes, I'm teaching right now at two universities, but this project isn't necessarily connected to either institution. This is kind of an independent project I'm working with people outside of the university structure as well, and including some people that are doing this on their part time.
So can you tell us a bit about the project?
Sure thing. As I came into the university structure to do my graduate degree, after going to the Jacquard Center and learning of the TC1 loom, obviously, inevitably, I was, oh, I'd love to have one of these looms for myself. But once you see the price tag, it's just too expensive for the studio weaver or for an individual artist to go ahead and spend that kind of money on a loom.
We're talking $30,000, $40,000 here?
Yeah, upwards of that. Wow. Yeah, $30,000 plus. My graduate degree is actually in art and technology studies, and during my time in grad school, I did come up with the idea for the open source loom, but I wanted to gain as much knowledge in terms of making, exploring with technology, skill set that I could actually put into my handy bag of tricks. So I kind of side-tabled this project, this open source loom, until I graduated. Once I graduated, I went straight into teaching, and that kind of took over, and finally, this year, I've kind of acclimated to my new life as a teacher, and I decided to go ahead straight into the project that I pretty much has been tabled for about 2.5 years. So the project is basically to create an open source Jacquard loom that anyone can build out of easily acquirable parts with easy technology.
And that's what you're calling OS Loom.
Yes, OS Loom stands for O for open, S for source, and then just Loom for loom.
How far are you along in the project?
We're at a point where we're ready to build the first prototype. We're just trying to gather the funds for that. We have a couple of different ideas. There's one that we are kind of confident in that we want to work with. Unfortunately, mechanical components are quite expensive. That's why those looms cost what they do. A solenoid is about $10 a pop. If you have 880 threads that you want to move, $10 per solenoid per each of the 880 threads, you end up spending about $8,000, $9,000 just on the moving parts alone.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're trying to see if we can cut that, reduce that, see what kind of innovative technique or machinery we could come up with aside from that. So originally, the main idea is to actually create one that is each thread has a solenoid or some sort of actuator that moves it. That's the one we want to build first and then go from there and see if we can come up with something else.
Do you have any sense of how much more affordable the open source loom might be than the commercially available looms?
It would just basically cost you the parts and the time to actually put it together yourself. All the plans, blueprints would be put online. All the software would be available online as well for free. That would then connect to your computer. Hopefully it would be something that you could use either Photoshop to create the files, the way that Bhakti Zeke has done in Elishline in their book. Or maybe also it would be really wonderful to use an open source imaging program like GIMP, perhaps, that's readily available for free, to then go ahead and send your files through to the loom and go ahead and weave them.
I'm familiar with the term open source because I use an open source CMS to power my website.
Nice.
But many of the listeners may not have run across the term before. Do you want to briefly describe what open source is and how it works?
Open source is more of a software movement where a program is put online free for anyone to use at no cost. There is usually a large community of supporters. Kind of reminds you of weaving circles or knitting circles where everyone helps each other out, but it's more of a software-based mentality. Trying to liberate software from the corporate entities that govern them, where you have to actually not only purchase the software, but then purchase the upgrades. Open source software is freely available online. You can download the program, use it, and you'll get the upgrades for free. And if you want to participate in the development of the software, it's actually very easy for anyone to go in there and actually participate if you're so inclined to software programming. The loom itself is going to be what's termed now open source hardware. So there's open source software and there's open source hardware. This comes from a movement from MIT's Fab Lab. And what they have done is they want to create this innovative lab that can go to third world countries or to universities, to community centers, where they have all this machinery, like a rapid prototyping machine, which is a 3D printer, prints 3D objects. You would have a CNC mill, which is a computer numerically controlled mill, where you can mill out pieces, in addition to other types of machines, that basically the community can go learn how to use these machines and make things. They've set up a couple of these in different spots, including Africa, I believe. So the open source hardware movement more or less stems from MIT's Fab Lab project. I was basically inspired more from the rapid prototyping aspect. I went ahead, and there's two types of rapid prototypers out there right now that are open source hardware. There's the Fab at Home, and there's the RepRap. I went ahead during my grad school, and I built the Fab at Home when I started thinking about this whole open source loom to see how easy this type of project is, and just to get a further understanding of building machinery and trying to get a little closer to the skills that I would need to build the loom, have an idea of what the end user would need and what kind of pitfalls to avoid when actually presenting the information.
Have you actually taken some steps to kind of play with solenoids and see how things might work?
Yes, I have played with solenoids. There are power concerns with this, but that's why I have a wonderful engineer working with me right now who shall remain nameless because he's scared that people will start emailing him. He's quite frightened about that, actually.
You have a team working on this?
Yes, there's a few individuals that are working on this. At the moment, I have an engineer. He wants to remain nameless. I do have a software person. I'm not sure, I didn't speak to him prior to this, if I should mention his name or not. And I do have a consultant as well. Not to mention, I've been getting email since I've launched the Kickstarter project from weavers, from engineers, from project managers that would be interested in actually participating in this. And I'm very open to that. I'm very much open to that. The only thing is I really want to kind of have a base model available, something that if people go and try to build, it would actually somewhat function. I don't want people to be spending their money uselessly. I am interested in putting a call for participation out as soon as the Kickstarter project ends, regardless if we have the funding or not, to try to see if we can work this out in one way, shape, or another. Kickstarter is an innovative neo-funding platform. You get invited to propose your project, and if accepted, then you have a limited amount of days to come up with the funding. Quite a few projects have actually done this already. Michael Mandeberg, who's an artist out of New York, he's done this project called Bright Bike, where there's retroreflective strips that you can put on your bike. He just got funded through Kickstarter. I'm hoping the same with OS Loom, but I'm not sure. I'm asking quite a bit more money than he is. So basically, it's a way to connect peer supporters with a project. It's not necessarily so much an investment because you don't necessarily get part of the project. You're just helping fund the project. And in return, there's some rewards that you get depending on the level of pledging that you do.
It's kind of like being a micro venture capitalist. Like if you only have 10 or 20 bucks, but you really believe in a project, you can support it.
Exactly.
So if people wanted to get involved with OS Loom, what's available to them right now?
Right now, what we would need is really the funding. Also, spread the word, post wherever you can about the project, about the Kickstarter project. And if you want to get involved with the actual development of the loom, whether it be hardware, software, if you're a weaver and you want to get involved, maybe share some of the knowledge you've had or experience with looms, all you'd have to do is email me at osloom.org@gmail.com or go to the website osloom.org, go to the contact section and let me know. And right now, I'm just accruing a list of people so that once my Kickstarter funding either goes through or not, I can go ahead and start on that. I'm more or less waiting for this phase to end to get into the second phase.
If you do get funding, what'll happen?
If I do get funding, I can order the parts and we can start building the loom, and hopefully it would be done by the end of the summer.
Oh, wow, that'd be very exciting. Now, if you don't get funding, what's the next step?
If I don't get funding, then I have to pretty much put it on my credit card. I don't know. Hopefully, I'm going to start trying to accrue company sponsorships. So if you're a solenoid manufacturer and want to sponsor this open source loom, we'd be more than happy to take your sponsorship solenoids. That would be the second step. So if we don't get funding, it'd be trying to solicit for corporate sponsorship, maybe some sort of apply for other grants. Since I had the idea, I had applied for grants for fellowships to try to gain funding for this, but nothing ever came through, which was quite disappointing to me. So Kickstarter has been like my last ditch effort at this without having to be a self-funded project.
You sound very technically inclined and able to put together things with solenoids. Is this loom something that the average weaver would be able to build, somebody who doesn't have a background in electronics?
I believe so. I think weavers are very handy and crafty. The way I'm thinking of building this loom is, think of like an Erector set. So it would be some parts that you would put together. There would hopefully either be someone out there that would be willing to sell the kits. I think the engineer was thinking about putting kits together to put for sale at minimal cost. Basically, you would get this kit, or you could go and purchase the parts separately and just put it together. There would be plenty of drawings and graphic illustration. Think IKEA parts and IKEA illustrations where, you know, this little screw goes here, this goes there. And obviously, that would be something that definitely I would need help with at some point in time in terms of putting all those instructions into a wiki format so that everyone can go on there and get the step-by-step instructions.
It seems like it would be a loom that it'd be easy to build like a 60-thread jacquard loom and then save up money to buy more solenoids and then build a 120-thread jacquard loom and kind of work your way up.
Exactly. The first model, we're thinking about using aluminum frame, kind of like the TC1 framing. That's something that's very inexpensive, very simple to put together, and it's quite extendable. So if you have a loom that's maybe 60 solenoids wide, as you mentioned, that is X amount inches wide, all you would need to do is buy a bar that goes horizontally, maybe instead of for the 60 solenoids, you would add like another 30 inches for another few solenoids and go from there. So instead of having to reconstruct the whole thing, you could just add to it and go from there in terms of extending it.
As weavers, the more we can know about our equipment, the more control we have over the finished cloth. And this would be like the ultimate level of control.
Absolutely. Now, the downside is obviously it would be dependent on the community for troubleshooting, as in any open source software or hardware, there isn't a tech support team you can call at 3 a.m. when your loom stops working. This would be something that would create a large community of users, hopefully, or a small community of users that would be very much in tune with your equipment and that would be able to help each other out. So I really like that aspect of the whole open source movement, the fact that it really builds a strong network of individuals that can help each other out.
Well, it sounds like a fascinating project.
Thank you.
Do you have the URL to the Kickstarter link?
If you go to osloom.org, there's a Kickstarter link on the right side of the page that you can just click on and it'll take you right there.
And what is the deadline if people wanted to support this project?
May 1st is the deadline, so it's kind of looming over my head right now, no pun intended.
So if you're interested in helping kickstart an open source loom, don't delay.
It's time to get warped, because everyone knows you have to be warped to weave. The theme music is Limerick Rake by Celtic Reboot. Thanks to them and the PodSafe Music Network for making that tune available.